around it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Busy show today. It's high school basketball playoff time. We got a couple of the coaches that will be in the area tournament coming up this week. Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears head coach Alicia Carlson will join us at 9:15. Talk about the Lady Bears season as a whole. Look forward to the game against Canute on Thursday at 1 o'clock down in Chickasha. And then also Eric Bearcats head coach Chase Newcomb will join us as well. His Bearcats were regional consolation champions in one of the Class B regional tournaments. They'll play Battiest at 7:30 on Thursday in Noble in that area tournament as well. So we'll get their thoughts on their seasons, their teams, and look forward to what's coming up in the area tournament. So let's just get right to it. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things. Well, you can't. We'll talk about college basketball right off the top with a couple of pretty big games in the Big 12 last night and an important one maybe in Stillwater on Saturday for OU. Penny news in the app. Let's see. I'm trying to rush through this. If you can't hear us live, you're going to be outside the area. Download the app. I'm not even going to tell you to stream it. Just download the app. It's got everything. Penny News, all the other radio stations, and plus Big Elk and Paragon TV. So you can just pull up your phone, watch the high school hoops coming up starting back on Thursday with the biggest day in high school basketball. 246 games around the state will be played all classes on Thursday. And then, of course, Skinny on Sports podcast available. If you miss the show entirely, you can find it anywhere podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You can tell that's kind of a form, like a template in my brain that I go down each and every day because once I skipped a bullet point or two, I had no idea what I was saying.
Yeah, kind of you get out of rhythm, yeah.
Absolutely. last night, a couple of big games in the Big 12. One, a top 10 showdown down in Houston as the Cougars faced the Iowa State Cyclones. Man, it was an absolute it was the epitome of what Big 12 is with the way that those two teams play. Rock fight. It just seems like we use that term a bunch, or a street fight, or just a brawl. It's exactly what it was last night, and that suits the Houston Cougars and Kelvin Sampson's team just fine. They win 73-65, take control of the regular season Big 12 lead in the standings with that win, avenge their first loss of the season up in Ames to Iowa State. Man, that Kelvin's team, with the way they whipped up on Texas over the weekend, and then that big win against number 6 this week, Iowa State, they're really looking to me like they're rounding into form to make a deep, deep run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I love rooting for the guy. And that team reminds me of that style that he was – what made his name in Norman, that rough style and just being the tougher team on the floor. It's translated well with the mixed in with some, you know, today's basketball, the modern basketball. It's translated really well. I was high on them last year. I might be higher on them this year as we approach the end of February. That's a good sign for them moving forward and get into the tournament and seeing how deep they can go. They're going to be a popular pick, I think.
I do, too. I don't think there's any doubt about that. On the other side, Iowa State, 9-4 in the conference, 20-6 overall. The one thing that gives me a little pause about them, And this is, if you look up and down the Big 12 standings, this is probably the way it is. It is the way it is for everybody. At 4-4, they have one of the better road records. But that still does give me just a little bit of pause when you look at their record at 20-6, 15-0 at home, 4-4 away from Ames within the conference. And then that would mean they're 1-2 in the non-conference away from the Hilton Coliseum. That's just a little bit concerning, I think, for Iowa State and their chances, because I think there'll be another, you know, that there could be play. There could be, depending on how the bracket's drawn up, I think you could see multiple Final Fours prediction-wise with two, maybe even three Big 12 teams in it.
Yeah, fortunately for them, the tournament play is played in neutral site games, and if they can continue to stay in the top 10, they could be closer to home and less travel for their Wild fans. Their fans will travel anywhere. They're good fans. So, yeah, but that's the Big 12. I wonder if the committee even looks at that and they go, well, yeah, they got a bad, like Kansas, they got a bad road record, but it is the Big 12. It's hard to win on the road. So if they if that gives them a pass or not, I don't know. But they're still a good team. They're still a good team.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they kind of quietly snuck in the top 10 in my eyes. I kind of forgot about Iowa State, to be honest with you. I was
not me.
I was kind of, I just look up and like last week and like, well, they're top 10. Yeah, they've strung some wins together, but struggling on the road, like you said.
Yeah, that's a good team. They can they can absolutely defend a lot. Those two teams were really pretty similar last night in the in their styles and the way that they play and the personnel that they have. It was just, I mean, defensive battle. Between Houston and Iowa State, it was one of those that felt like if somebody made a three, it was worth like 6 points instead of just three because of how hard it was for those teams to score. And then, you know, they started piling up the fouls. Some free throws got in there. But Houston, you know, Jamal Shedd is going to be a guy that's in the running, I think, for not only the conference player of the year, he might even get some national player of the year looks if they continue. You know, if Houston wins the Big 12 regular season, then their first crack at it. He's their engine, and he can score, and he can get in the paint, create for other guys. I think Houston's tourney or national title hopes are going to come down to can guys make shots. And that's kind of a similar thing for Kelvin throughout the years. They're going to be able to defend. They're going to be able to rebound. That last night was a good sign for Iowa State because when you look, you know, one of the staples of Kelvin Sampson basketball throughout the entirety of his career has been how much they dominate the glass. They got beat on the glass by 9 last night by Iowa State, 39-30. And so that's a pretty good sign for Iowa State to go in there and be able to do that. If you can do that inside Hoffman's Pavilion down there, or I guess the Fertitta Center or whatever they call it now at Houston, you can out-rebound just about anybody. And that's, you know, how many times do you think of the history of the tournament, some of the biggest shots of all time have happened off of offensive rebounds at the end of games. You know, there's a whole bunch of those that have happened. So good game last night. Houston wins over Iowa State 73-65. Bedlam and Stillwater coming up Saturday. Oklahoma, after winning two straight against BYU and OSU a couple of weeks ago, then last week lost down at Baylor and then at home against Kansas. So a two-game losing streak has them under 500 in the conference at 6-7. Is Saturday a must-win for Oklahoma to make it into the tournament?
Maybe because of what's ahead of them after that game when they go to Ames. We just mentioned Iowa State's tough at home, and then hosting Houston, hosting Cincinnati, then wrapping up the season at Texas. So at best, you're looking at 2-2 after the Oklahoma State game. So you certainly want to win that game, finish this run at 3-2, those final five, and make a strong push in the tournament. So maybe. I mean, what are they projected, like 8, 9, 7?
7 on Friday.
7 on Friday. I bet you it's like 8 now after a two-game losing streak. So we'll what saves them is it's like we always say this. It's the Big 12. You know, it's such a hard schedule or hard conference to navigate. And here they are with 18 wins. So – I mean, I don't know. It's the thing is when teams – the thing you really got to watch is around the country is when these mid-major teams are – you know, when you see those upsets happen in tournaments and stuff, and all of a sudden you're going, uh-oh.
I don't think Oklahoma's near that point yet.
Right.
That's where Cincinnati's at right now.
So I don't know. You know what I mean? So then I think they maybe they – I don't know if it's a must-win – but it would definitely solidify that bubble a little more.
Yeah, I don't even think they're on the bubble. But the problem is, like you said, if you can't beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State, you're still at 6 wins in the conference. If you win that one and win one of the last 4, 8-10 in this league with wins over Iowa State, BYU, they're in.
Yeah.
8 wins in this league is going to get Oklahoma in with what else they have on their resume. But if you can't beat Oklahoma State, I mean, you might as well just chalk up Iowa State on the road as a loss. Then you got Houston and Cincinnati at home. See, if you can win on Saturday, Then you had those two home games. Houston's obviously going to be a load, but you never know. And then the Cincinnati game. Pull one of those two out, and then you're guaranteed to be 8-10 in the league, and that's going to get you in the NCAA tournament, no doubt about it. The reason why I would say it's a must win, because without Saturday, I don't think they can win two out of the last four. Then you go to the Big 12 tournament in need of at least one, if not maybe two. 7-11, there's a scenario where 7-11 in the league gets them in. But then you're talking about you need the favorites in those conferences to start winning, especially some that might be multiple bid conferences. You need those to get through at 7-11. 8-10, you're in, no doubt about it. Because it also gets you that magical 20 win mark that I don't know really matters anymore. But in this league, with that many wins, you're gonna stumble into some quality wins just because of how good the league is, and they've done that. And so I think in a lot of ways it kind of is. It's not because of the opportunities that they'll have to make up for it against Iowa State and Houston and then at Texas, but the probability of winning some of those games is so much lower that I think it would certainly behoove them to win.
If they fall into that bubble status, where are the quality wins?
Oh, well, Iowa State obviously
that's
is one.
One.
BYU's another one. What's Providence doing now? You think back to the non-conference. Where are they at in their league? There was times where they were kind of ping-ponging back and forth in and out of the top 25 there early on in the season. They're 8-7, 17-9 overall in the Big East, which that's a pretty decent league. When you look at UConn, Marquette, Creighton, it's not the Big 12, but it's a good one. So they're top half of that league, probably an NCAA tournament team if they finish off. So that's one that you got. USC's not helping you much anymore.
I was not.
Yeah. So
you kind of start there. You start those.
Here's where Providence
Arkansas
can help.
Arkansas is not.
Yeah,
good.
Arkansas is not helping you at all. Providence can help you in a couple of ways: beating Marquette or UConn. They play them both down the stretch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're no U fan,
I mean, BYU is that.
They're number 25 in the country.
That's quality.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The one thing about it is they haven't gotten a real good one on the road.
Right.
In the conference especially.
It's tough to do, but they need it. They need it.
Yeah, like a win at Texas. I'm going to go ahead and write off next Wednesday as a loss in Ames. I just don't see that happening whatsoever. But then you got a chance at Ames, obviously at Oklahoma State. You win a couple of those road games and win one of the two at home, and you ought to be there.
Just found the latest bracketology.
What has it got?
As of an hour ago. Let's see here. 8.
Yeah. So they were 7 pointed down after the Baylor loss. So that's still a long ways from Dayton time.
Yeah, Big 12 still with 9. SEC with 9.
Yeah. So they're still
they're
still a long way from Dayton and the last four in or second four in or what have you, but a loss on Saturday and all of a sudden you're going to start seeing them plummet down toward right where that's at.
Right.
So, all right, take a break. When we come back, we'll have the head coach of the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears, Ms. Leisha Carlson, talk about her young team, her very, very good team, 17-11 regional runners-up, play Canute, 1 o'clock coming up Thursday in Chickasha. It's Paul Jones Drug Tuesday on the Skinny on Sports. We'll tell you all about riding in the game when we come back. This is Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back to a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday right here on the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Rodney Skinner and the gang at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main, right here in Elk City. Paul Jones is the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. They have free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testings and vaccinations, and also those blister packs. We talk about them every week. That is your long-term care unit packaging at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Joining us now is the head coach of the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears, 17-11, a regional runner-up finish last week, going into the area tournament this week. It is head coach Leisha Carlson. Leisha, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
It's always kind of a hold our breath moment when we use the phone here. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But thankfully,
yes,
we have you loud and clear. Your team, obviously a mixture of young and old. The last couple of years, losses in the district tournament. Now this year, all the way to area. How much motivation do you think that provided your team, knowing how things went in the playoffs the last 2 years, and helped propel you into where you are now?
Yes, well, definitely it's a drive. You know, it's a motivating factor. You know, we kind of play on being the underdog and kind of what that means. And this year's team has had a lot of fight in them. And it's fun to see, you know, your hard work kind of come into fruition. So I've really enjoyed coaching this group of girls this year.
It's an interesting dynamic to me because you have so many young ones, but then also you have some older players in the starting lineup, a senior. How do you see them helping each other? Maybe the older ones with the experience part of it, and then the younger ones maybe teaching a little bit of what they've learned and playing together so long.
Absolutely. So, yes, I'm starting with 4 freshmen and 1 senior. And I've got some great upperclassmen leadership. I've got 2 seniors and a junior that have just really bring kind of a calming presence to, you know, the younger ones, sometimes inconsistency and, you know, what comes with being young and playing and starting in high school. But I tell you, my seniors, J.R. Gonzalez and Miranda Allen, they have just truly stepped up and just been amazing leaders for our team. And I think the best way to describe it is just being, you know, a calming presence to them and just, you know, giving them encouragement. They're constantly talking to their teammates. It's really fun to witness and be a part of.
And the young team coach, very talented, the young players on your team. What was it like going into the season when you decided, okay, I'm going to start these 4 freshmen? How did you approach that? Is there a different approach? Like, I got to talk to these girls a little different. They're fresh into high school. Or is it just you just coach them like they've always been coached?
Well, I try to just coach them like they've always been coached. I've been around these girls since probably they were 4 or 5 years old. So they've been playing ball together a lot, going playing travel ball together. So they've played a lot together. The dynamics of it, that is always a difficult decision to make as a coach. You know, it's a difficult thing to do, to decide to play, you know, younger ones over older ones. So that always is a difficult decision to make. But ultimately, I made it, and I do feel like, you know, for the best of our team. And, you know, the ones that are still, you know, still fighting for our team. And I think it's worked out for the best, so.
Who have been some of the key cogs on your team individually so far this season for the Lady Bears?
Well, I tell you, you know, offensively, I've got 3 freshmen that are just really stepping up and helping with that. That's Kimberlyn Denny, Kinley Carlson, and Emma Bogus. But I tell you, defensively, you know, the other 2, Miranda Allen and Cambry McLaughlin, they really bring a spark defensively. And, you know, and it takes everyone. You know, I have several sparks off the bench as well. So it takes all of us, and I really appreciate their fight day in and day out. So I think that's probably the main thing that's been, you know, just fun to witness and be around. They're kind of in that stage where they're not really scared of anyone. You know, maybe kind of too young to realize that. But they bring fight and tenacity every day, and I just appreciate that.
One player for me, Coach, that I've seen you play a few times is Denny. She's been kind of putting in that role where she has to go up against some really good players in this area, you know, the Henley West and Schuster's of the world, and she's held her own. Talk about her. I think her ceiling is very high.
Yes, for sure. She has lots of potential. scoring-wise, you know, I would always like to get a little more defense out of her. But, yes, definitely, she's got kind of those big game moments. She will flip the switch, and, you know, she's followed basketball for a long time in her career. But definitely, and, you know, her height, I would like her to get a little bit stronger, but she definitely has a high ceiling and I think has amazing potential from here on out.
We're hanging out with Cheyenne Lady Bears head coach Alicia Carlson here on a Paul Jones Truck Tuesday this morning, talking about the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears season, also going to look ahead to the game against Canute. Not that this season, I mean, obviously, you're in the area tournament, just three wins away from going to state, but with the youth on your team, how important do you feel like it was for those girls to gain the exposure to, say, a regional final last Saturday and now getting into the area tournament and kind of getting to feel like how their bodies react, how their minds react in those situations?
I think it's a great experience, obviously, being able to play young players and them getting that experience all season, I feel like is a good thing for the future. But, you know, there's nothing like, you know, small school playoffs. And I feel I'm very excited for them because they get to experience those seasons. You know, most of these girls have went and watched playoff basketball, state tournament basketball, since they were little girls. Most of them, their parents, you know, played together. I've got two players that played with me in high school. And we experienced the state tournament together in high school. So, you know, I think it's something maybe just almost bred into them. There's something that they expect, that they want, that they're driven for. So I think it's pretty exciting and something that we're just going to keep playing one game at a time.
I'm glad you brought up your playing time, because do you feel like, as a former player, as someone whose teams did play in the state tournament, do you feel like that influences how you coach in game to game or even minute to minute on the sidelines?
I don't know if it influences that. I'm a very driven person. I kind of push maybe sometimes too much, but I just feel, you know, maybe just the drive. I'm very driven. I like to see the people that I'm working with be successful, and so I'm going to continue to push them, you know, as far as they can go.
I'll defer any questions about Canute to Aaron.
Jared was wanting to ask.
I'm the Canute play-by-play guy, so I feel like I should deflect that. But I do want to say, looking at your record, which is very impressive, even in losses, you played Merritt very close. You played Leedy close. You put some points up on Hammond. So even in those losses, are you using those as teaching moments for, and I know going back to the locker room, it's a bummer, especially for those young ones, but do you use like, hey, look, mm-hmm. we're right there? Because for me and Aaron, when we saw those results, go, hey, look out for that Cheyenne team. So do you use that as a motivating factor to go, hey, you played some of the really best teams in the state pretty close?
Sometimes. And I feel like sometimes with them, I can't brag on them too much, you know, but I kind of have to take the other side of it. But I tell you, we've had a very tough schedule, and I feel like, I hope, you know, it'll be beneficial. You know, it's been beneficial in playoffs, I feel like. I would say six of our 11 losses have been to top four teams in their, you know, perspective, or in their class, you know, to Sealing. We lost twice to Sealing, twice to Hammond, once to Merritt, and then once to Cyril. So we've had a very tough schedule, and I knew that. Our, you know, schedule here at Cheyenne Raiden, it's always been difficult. We have, you know, in our five-county conference, we have seven teams, and five of those seven teams made it to area tournament. So it's a very tough schedule, and I knew that. But I feel like it's beneficial going into playoffs.
All right, so you lost to Canute in January, 54-42. What needs to change on Thursday to reverse that result and have the Lady Bears on top?
Oh, definitely. I think just our defense and rebounding, walking out. We didn't do a terrific job of that the first time through. So those are kind of, you know, main factors that I'm emphasizing. Just, you know, defense and rebounding.
Offensively, is there a certain key that you don't want to tell Jared, but you can tell me and nobody else is, you know, nobody's
listening
anymore?
Should I take my headset?
Sure. I'm keeping all those secrets to myself.
What grade is Reed in? Is he seventh or eighth?
He's a seventh grader.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking him and Wyatt were the same grade, but I couldn't remember for sure. Yeah, I'm sure that everybody's fired up about those guys getting up there kind of like their sisters are doing now. I'm sure those boys are ready to chomping at the bit to have their turn here in a couple of years.
Oh, yes, they're fun. They are competitive, so it's fun.
Is there some competition between the sisters that are doing it right now and the younger boys that are still in junior high?
I don't think so yet, really. I mean, who knows? There's always a little trash talk, you know, but... Who knows?
Well, Alicia, thank you so much thank you so much for your time, and good luck to the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears on Thursday in Chickasha against Canute, and a heck of a season for a young team that the future is super, super bright over there in Cheyenne.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Alicia Carlson of the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears coming up 1 o'clock on Thursday against Canute, area tournament from Chickasha. We will take a break when we come back on this Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll keep the coaching carousel rolling. We've got Jason Newcomb of the Eric Bearcats coming up next. So stay tuned for Eric Bearcat Basketball. 98.1 FM, the sports animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Yeah, they say this guy scratches himself better than he throws a ball.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports. 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Aaron Efferding, Coach Jason Newcomb with the Eric Bearcats. We'll talk to him about their run, about their season. They've had a great season. Kind of a slow start in November, but really turned it on and actually have some key wins on their schedule. And, you know, final thoughts about Cheyenne. You mentioned their youth, four freshman starters on that team with a senior, but those four freshmen, and I've seen them play. They played together. They know where they're going to be on the court. That, like Coach Carlson said, they've been playing with each other since they could basically walk and pick up the basketball. And it's a model I think a lot of people are following now, is starting them young, keeping them together, you're seeing it now in Cheyenne. I think you're about to see it in Canute with the same group of girls playing with each other all the way since, like I said, they could pick up the basketball. And I think that's a model that had been established years ago in Sealing. You know what I mean? So if other people embrace that model, and I'm not saying give up every weekend and drain your bank account to do that, but if they embrace that model, because my fear is with this open transfer thing, we can get away from that. And if other people can embrace that model, keep the kids together, play all the way through, we're going to have some really, really good teams in the future here in basketball out here in Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt for those girls that are on that team. Like Alicia said, it's bred in them because their mamas were really good.
That absolutely helps. And, you know, you're at a tradition-rich place like Cheyenne.
Absolutely.
You know, that's been to countless state tournaments. That's one of you. That's the expectation. The standard is to get to state. So they've missed out the last few years, but they're rebuilding it back to where they expect to be. And with that model I just mentioned, it's in that year, right? It doesn't help when they just grown up around it, and that's just the expectation is, well, my mom did it. My aunt did it. My uncle did it.
I mean, think
my
about
dad
it.
Did it.
For those girls that are 15 or 16 years old, they have seen the Lady Bears in the state tournament more than they haven't seen the Lady Bears in the state tournament.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
there's been a really good run for a decade plus over there. That matters. It's in the smaller schools.
Absolutely does.
You see it over and over and over again. You know how many times that picture is so cool. That they play during the state tournament weekend, you know, they'll have a photo montage, and what do you see? You see Kellen and Cameron Hines on the bench with their dad when they were 8.
Yeah.
Experiencing what those guys, you know, we're going to get it. We saw it last year with Jacob and his son being able to experience as an 8th grader being on that bench for Calumet in a state final, and now he's out there on the floor. That can only help, I think, just – to be around it and experience the success of it. Still efforting Coach Newcomb. We'll try to get him on the horn here in just a little bit.
We'll have to pivot here.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, someone's messaged me and wanting me to send them things. It's crazy. We talk about people don't realize when we're on air.
Yeah.
I just get bombarded, and it always happens after 9 o'clock. Nah. Just talking about these playoffs and, you know, talk about the record of Cheyenne coming in at 17-11. I would almost say they're the best unranked team in Class A. I would almost put them up in that category because of who they've played, and I mentioned who they've lost to. Hello. They took Merritt down to the wire, losing 63-59. They put up some points against Hammond twice. You mentioned they played Sealing. And to navigate all that and still have a winning record, I think that schedule is why they beat Canton the way they did. They beat Navajo the way they did. And Cyril's a different animal. Cyril is really, really good. So this area tournament will be very interesting when you get the rematch with Canute. And I just saw it last week. When towns are familiar with each other, teams, schools, when Canute and Arapahoe went at it again for a third time, and you saw what happened there. Arapahoe wasn't scared of them and took them down to the wire. Cheyenne's not going to back down. And I expect that might be the best game on Thursday is between Cheyenne and Canute girls.
It's interesting you talk about playing the team for the third time, because joining us now is the head coach of the Eric Bearcats, regional consolation champs, 20-10 so far this season, is Mr. Jace Newcomb. Jace, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. That third time was a charm for the Bearcats on Saturday in that consolation bracket championship game against Hammond, losing the first two, winning that one. Did you get a sense in the locker room before you guys started that game on Saturday that your team was going, hey, you know what, we can beat these guys even though it hadn't gone our way the first two?
Well, yeah. I mean, for one thing, not having to play them at Hammond makes a big difference. We thought if we had them on a neutral court, we might have a chance to get them. So, and these guys are, you know, they were pretty fired up about playing for the young man who passed. So when we get to that point, they get pretty fired up about, they're going to play extra hard, you know, just for that.
Was there any extra motivation for you against your alma mater there and having a chance to knock them out?
Well, always. Anytime we play Hammond, I want to win, because it doesn't happen very often. Haven't been able to get that done a whole lot of times, but when I do, yeah, it's special.
Yeah, we're hanging out with Jace Newcomb, head coach of the Eric Bearcats. All right, so the last two seasons you've been in that game and were not able to get it done. What was the difference this year in allowing your team to prevail through the regional consolation bracket into the area tournament?
Well, this same group, pretty much the core of them, went through it last year, and I don't know. I mean, I think having been there, it's just like anything. You know, you see teams that make it to the go-to game in area, and if they don't make it and they come back the next year, it seems like they have a lot better chance of going that next year if you have most of the same kids back. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
Coach, I want to talk about your season. It's a really, I mean, your schedule, you look at it, you start the, say, November, what I write down here, 3-2, and then you went on a little bit of a run here with some impressive wins. What changed? Now here you are with 20 wins and coming in arguably one of the hottest teams in your area. What's changed as this season's progressed with your guys? What did you have to change an approach, or was it just stay the course?
Just stay the course. This team plays as hard as any team I've ever coached, as far as just giving effort and playing defense. We occasionally struggle to score a little bit. And when we get scoring from other spots, of course, Crosby Baylor, he's averaging 20. So, you know, unless somebody just really, really focuses on him, he's going to score. And then I have other guys who can score. It's just, are they going to do it, you know, on a certain night? Like at the end of the year, we played Arnett here, and we just could not get shots to fall really from anywhere else. And the other night against Hammond, we had some other players really, really step up. So when those other guys have stepped up and made shots, that's really the difference. That's when we're really tough. And because we always, like I said, I feel like we always play hard. We're always going to be after every loose ball and playing great defense, or at least hustling. Sometimes we're out of position, but we always work hard. So,
yeah, you guys, you mentioned Crosby. Who are some other of the key players that you've got on your team this season?
Well, of course, I mean, you know, all my starters play a lot of minutes. And like the other night, that ball game was so tight, and we didn't get in terrible foul trouble, so I only went one deep. But Tucker Dunlap played an amazing ball game. I mean, he was just on fire in the first half. And then Morgan McIntyre, I put him on whoever the other team's best player is. I put him on them, and he has done just an amazing job playing defense this year. Robert White is just kind of an all-around player who sometimes can get hot, and when he does get hot, he's one of those that when he gets hot, it really, really helps us. And then Barrett Thompson is my center, and he does a good job of offensive rebounding and defensive rebounding and just playing defense and just making hustle plays for us. He doesn't always score a lot of points, but he really works hard in there, and I think he's got 70 or 80 offensive rebounds, so he really does a good job with that.
It seemed like a bunch of those guys were over here yesterday, the day before, on the Ag Show, if I remember those names, with the FFA.
Oh, yeah, I bet so, yeah. They're well-rounded guys. I mean, they really do everything.
Isn't it funny how in small school some of the best players are heavily involved in the FFA? I think it's a mental, like how that work ethic kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Looking at your schedule, man, you've played a bunch of teams that are still playing. Obviously, Canute, Granite, got them once in the season. Sentinel, Duke. How much does playing those types of teams throughout the regular season help you when you're going to get on the floor against Battius coming up on Thursday night?
Well, I think it helps us a lot just knowing that we've played some of the toughest teams. Now, at the start of the year, there was a point in the season I think we were 8-3, and our losses were to Canute, Granite, and Sentinel, and we weren't ranked. And I was telling anybody that would listen, play those three teams, and if you beat them, don't rank us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't beat them, then put us in the rankings. So the bad thing right now, I think, is if you play a tough schedule, especially early, if you play a tough schedule, you just have a hard time getting ranked. And if you're not ranked, then you kind of get – you find yourself in a tough position when the playoffs roll around. Like us having to go to Hammond for a district or, you know, having to play the Hammond or Granite in the regional. I mean, that was one of the toughest regionals around. But like I said, we got out of it. So I think it helps your team in the long run playing some of those good teams, but it doesn't always help you in the rankings and positioning yourself for the playoffs if you play them early, especially if you don't get them beat. Now, if you win those ball games, then obviously, you know, you're set.
We would need another hour to talk about the process of ranking.
Let's do it.
It's because I'm right there with you. I think some teams are, I don't know if left out's the word, but just overlooked because maybe of their location or who's ranking who, based on they just look at results and they don't look at how or stuff
right.
like that. So it's I don't know if unfair is the word to use, but. I don't know if there's adjustments that need to be made, but that's a whole another show we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that conversation before. Yeah, Battius, that's who you got on Thursday. What do you know about him? That's here we go. A team we have no knowledge about other than what their record is.
That's right.
Have you seen anything about him, or what do you know?
Obviously, you know, with the huddle and Paragon and streaming services. You can find information on these teams and as far as getting video on them and stuff.
See, I want to stop you right there. You're absolutely right. Coaches can find video on this stuff. We're doing it. Other people are doing it. That's why it kind of drives me crazy sometimes where the rankings end up. But go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So I have video on them. Now, the problem with a team like them is I don't know the teams that they've even played real well. So a lot of times you're looking at them and thinking, okay, this would be all right if I was seeing them playing, if I saw a video of them playing Hammond, if I saw a video of them playing Leedy. Then I kind of see, I get a little bit more information. But it's nice to be able to have a bunch of video on a team, and you kind of get a pattern of what they're about and who their best players are and stuff like that.
All right, so I know here in Elk City a couple of times we've gone to maybe some different tournaments almost for that purpose. Is that something that crosses your mind, or is it, you know, a lot of times you're just so kind of locked in to a schedule, you know, you're going to go to Granite, you're going to go to Wussy, you're going to, you know, this year went to Cordell. Is that something that crosses your mind to think not only to get exposure to the other ones, but also other people see you that might even be able to help you when it comes to getting ranked?
Yeah. I think Granite did that this year.
Mm-hmm.
Granite went over to the Wapanucka tournament, and they've done that a couple of times to kind of get to see some of the Eastern teams and stuff. So, yeah, but the logistics of it are tough.
Right.
You know, we went a couple of years up to the Panhandle and played some of those teams up there and won a couple of those up there. But it's tough because you're probably going to be staying in a motel room. And, I mean, it just takes a lot of logistics to do that. You know, when you're taking a girls' team, boys' team, cheerleaders up to a motel and staying a couple of nights, there's just a lot of stuff to it, and it's expensive. And it's just a whole lot easier to go to a tournament that you can drive to.
Sure, absolutely. All right, so from what you've seen in Battiest, what does it look like, the problems that they will present you guys coming up on Thursday?
Well, they all their players are pretty good, but they have two outstanding scorers. one kid, number 15, I don't remember his name, but he can just go. I mean, he's going to be able to drive. He's going to be able to hit the three. He can hit the jump shot. He can come in and get contact. He can pass the basketball. He just does. He's just like a three-level scorer. You know, he can score at all three levels. And then they have another number 20 that is just a knockdown shooter. And the other guys do a good job, but those two guys are who they rely on to do most of their scoring. And they're tough. I mean, I don't know for sure what we're going to do with them.
Well, thank you. what about your guys, though, outside of Crosby? Is it one of those games where, you know, he has to get his and then hope the other ones, or you kind of maybe design it to get the other guys going that maybe opens it up for him?
Well, for him, unless they really, really focus on getting him shut down, he's going to score points. I mean, I usually don't have to worry about that. Unless the other team just really, you know, boxing ones or, Granite the other night on a kid, you know, triangle and two'd one guy. I haven't seen that in a long time. I had to give it up to Coach Bonhoff, Cole down there at Granite. I told him that's one of the gutsiest moves I've seen a coach make in a long time. And it paid off. So, but usually, you know, I can count on Baylor to get his points. Like I said, unless the team just focuses every bit of their effort, and then when they do that, it opens up opportunities for other guys.
Well, man, congratulations on your success this season. Good luck to the Eric Bearcats moving on in the area tournament. It'd be really cool to see the Bearcats in that state tournament coming up next week.
That'd be amazing. That's what everybody's looking for.
Absolutely.
So, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Jace. Have a great day.
All right, thank you.
Bye. You're welcome. Head coach Jace Newcomb of the Eric Bearcats. Moving on with the win over Hammond in the regional consolation championship game, 41-37. He mentioned Dunlap. That was the guy that I noticed right off. I think he might have hit three threes in the first half that really kind of opened things up. And then you can almost hear Ed at the end when you knew Hammond had to foul.
Don't foul him.
Praying they fouled anybody but Crosby.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Because as soon as he went to the line, it was game over with the 2-point lead and then those two free throws that went in to make it four. But a great story. We talked, at times, Eric's had some pretty good moments in the season, right? When we come in here, especially after that tournament in Granite.
Yeah,
when they beat Granite,
no one's talking about Eric.
Right.
No one's talking about Eric. Look what they're doing here. Yeah. Yeah, and I mentioned there in November they started 3-2 and almost 2-3, but they got a win over Indiana in the month of November. Then they turned around and they, I'm looking at it right now, won 5 in a row, and they won that Best of Southwest tournament at Granite over Granite. And I think that was when we started saying, you see that? You looking at this?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the tough scheduling and how it unfair it kind of is when you take your lumps. It makes you better for playoffs, but the trade-off is you're not getting ranked where you want or probably should be ranked to help you out in that playoff run. But it doesn't matter. They're in the area tournament, and they're 3 wins away. So, good team, good coach, rooting them on.
It's a really interesting conversation because we have seen teams, and it seems like, at least for us, it always comes from the Southwest, where they're so far Southwest that you don't really see them in the 5-county conference playing a bunch of those teams, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder, I think Duke has done a good job of starting to kind of schedule some more of these games against the teams up here closer to I-40 than maybe they did in the past.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like you see Duke popping up on a bunch of different teams' schedules where maybe they didn't a decade ago. I think there's been some big pasture teams where you look and like, man, their record is really good. And then you start kind of digging through it and you go, okay, who'd they beat?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's the tricky part of it because, as Coach Newcomb said, you can play a tough schedule. But, man, if you're not able to win some of those games, you don't get the notice. You don't get the recognition. And, when you start out November and you play Canute, Granite, and Sentinel. That's 3 area teams. 2 of them are regional champs. One of them just upset the behemoth that is Fort Cobb.
Right. Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, like you say, you're 3-3 in November. One of those is a forfeit win over Olustee. So that one, a lot of people probably don't even count that when they look at, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Win that game in overtime. And then all of a sudden, you're kind of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people, and nobody even notices that you run through December with 5 straight, including avenging that loss to Granite in that tournament final down in Granite
in
on their home floor.
Yes.
So yeah, we talked about it with this with Mark on the football side more than the basketball side, but it remains true in basketball. What other way is there to do it though?
Yeah. No, that's why I voice my displeasure, I guess, with those coaches who do this. This is a coach's poll. It's when they see if there's any question about what is this team like. Well, I'll just look at their record and move on. Well, why not go and try to find their stream? Everybody nowadays has a stream, it feels like.
Yeah.
I've when I'm scouting and I'm looking for video to find starters and get an idea of what I'm going to expect next game, I can find the stream. Helps that we carry a lot of schools. But right now in the playoffs, I'm looking for who did I find the other day? Southwest Covenant. So I found Southwest mm-hmm. Covenant, and I was able to watch some of them. So my point is I'm not saying coaches aren't putting effort into this, but the excuse of not seeing them isn't there anymore.
Yeah, but at the same time, especially this time of year, if you're a coach, you get a chance to breathe. You want to kind of breathe too.
Sit down
and that's probably
I get it. Coaches have lives too. I totally get
and the good
that.
Part of it is, it comes to a point where in the really important part of the season, they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah,
because it's done. They haven't the A and B coaches haven't ranked anybody in a month because it gets locked in. So that kind of helps in that regard for once it gets to the playoffs, but. You know, I think they've tried to, the USSAA-wise, I think they've tried to kind of even it out where there's not so much of those outliers, because I think they dropped maybe the highest two in the bottom three out of all the rankings. So, you know, if there's somebody out there that's really trying to stick it to you, their ranking doesn't count anyway. Mm-hmm. If it's just one, you know, but you never know how they can, you know, wrangle stuff around. And it just is what it is. I mean, there's, I don't know that there is a solution to it.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because I honestly don't pay attention very much to the 6A, 5A playoffs.
They have district now.
Okay. It seems like it's changed more often here in the last 10 years or so, more than once.
They now have district.
Okay.
So that's how it's all determined.
Right. So my question is, would there ever be a need for a change in the small school playoffs? Or do we like the format? I like it.
There's no way you can.
Like an east-west type thing?
How can you, though?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
There's so many schools.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
In a way, we already have it.
Not the problem, but that's the issue. Yeah, I mean, I think you see the attempt to try to even it geographically with where teams are sent area-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes there's just anomalies in the rankings where, you know, like this season, you look at especially like Class B girls. Everyone's over here.
Yeah, yeah.
When I say over here, I mean west of I-35. Pittsburgh's the only one that's not, as far as the top eight goes. And so then I'm afraid if you started trying to put more of an emphasis on geography versus the rankings, you'll end up with an area that's got three of the top eight in it.
Right.
Right, yeah, now you'd have four.
That's right.
Well, two areas. You'd have one with two and one with – well, no. You'd have – yeah. If you did it purely on geography, one of the west areas would have to have four teams in the top eight, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and then the other one would have three, so that's seven, and then the east would have Pittsburgh ranked in the top eight in one area, and nobody else would be in top eight in the other one. You know, so that's the difficulty of – I mean, it's a good system. I don't think it's even this is right. Mark, I think Mark from Duke is exactly right, and we touched on it yesterday with who had made it into area. If you look at who is still like winning into area, all 40 top 10 teams are still alive.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? So the coaches have done a pretty damn good job ranking the teams. Maybe not in the exact order that everyone would like, but as far as top 10, I mean, if you get all 40, how many are there? 24? How many are there? Six? There's six per area. Right? Yeah, each area has six teams. So there's 24 per class left, per classification. And over almost half of those remaining are all the top 10 teams. That's pretty pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, and then that's something though I want to look at next Monday. How close they got to getting it right.
Right.
That's normally pretty close.
It normally is, yeah.
But when you're in a situation like what Eric was in, I mean, if you win district, you have to go to Hammond to play district. And then you have to, if you won that one, you play Granite. That's pretty tough to start.
Who were we talking about yesterday?
So kudos that those two, that team was able to make it to where they did.
I'm drawing a blank. The unranked team?
Riverfield.
No. The last year, who won it all?
No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Tushka. Tushka. Or 3 years. 2021. Tushka.
Won it all unranked.
Tushka, right? Tigers.
Yeah.
That's correct. Only the third team in the history of Oklahoma high school basketball to do it.
What do you think they're acting like after? Like, you got it wrong. We we should have been ranked. We should have been here. We proved you all wrong.
All right, let's go back and look at that while we're here.
Can you go back and look at the...
Absolutely.
Brackets that far back?
I can go back and look at their schedule.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Oh, where'd they go? It was Class A, wasn't it? Oh, it's messing up. that function only works when you don't want it to.
We're right. So 21-22 year? Is that right?
How many in a row is ceiling one? They've won two in a row.
Two in a row.
So, yeah, the first one. So, it'd be 21-22. Then last year was 21-22. You got it?
No. It's doing the same thing to me. Whatever it's doing to you, it just stops working.
Okay, here we go. I've got it. Tushka. Okay, so going into the playoffs, they won 1-2. They had to play. Think of this. They had to play a lose and you go home district game. They weren't even a bye in district.
Whoa.
So they won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row. They ended up 24-8. So they were 16-8 heading into the playoffs. Kind of, really kind of similar to Eric this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're now 20-10. I mean, very similar.
What an incredible run. They went through where I found it to.
Mm-hmm.
Four top 10 teams. Rattan in the area final.
Five. Go back up to the regionals.
Well, I'm in a row.
Okay, yeah.
But regional, yeah, they beat number four Caddo. That is incredible.
Who was a state tournament team.
Mm-hmm.
That year.
Upset number one Hydra. They were looking to defend, weren't they?
That's right.
Beat them by two, who was number one, then beat number two Garber. Garber probably went in thinking, we got this unranked Tushka team.
Yeah, because you remember what happened the year before in the finals. It's when Garber blew that lead to Hydra.
Yep. Yep. We kind of thought that's going to be a rematch.
Yeah.
That is a crazy run. I mean, they're not going to forget that for
Arapaho first round. That was an overtime game, I'm sure, because that's all Arapaho does on the boys' side in state tournament.
They
get play overtime.
Yeah.
I think it might have been
a multiple overtime. Or who was it when they played like two overtimes?
Garber, three was overtime in the finals.
Yeah. That was a crazy day, crazy night. Man,
that was 2020.
Next week needs to hurry up and get here.
That was 2020 because remember.
Yep.
That was Arapaho, Leedy, and Canute all in the finals.
Yeah, we had a night that night, yeah.
And then the next week, going to state tournaments, it all shut down.
Yep.
For the bigger classes. They all kind of got there, and it shut down.
I remember there was rumblings of this thing called COVID.
Yeah.
And I remember washing my hands a little more often than not that day. Getting that sanitizer. I was just like, well, I don't know what this is. And then, yeah, I remember sitting down on a Tuesday in my garage to watch the Thunder play Utah.
That's right.
And it started in Oklahoma City. Yeah. Like it all shut down in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you'll remember, that week before, Canute had a bunch of people sick. Now, not that it was COVID necessarily, but you remember that? Like at the tournament, there was people that were like, oh my gosh, I feel terrible.
Well, no, I remember, and I'm not blaming anybody.
But
I remember the game before the Canute game, Arapaho played, and they were on that side, but we were above them. And I remember a young man threw up.
Yeah.
And, you could smell it. It was bad. And everyone's like, well, they just come out with the sawdust, and they cleaned it up and everything. And then the Canute fans came in. And it was after that sickness was going around. It wasn't COVID. It
right.
was just that time of year where there was a flu bug going around. But I did blame the kid.
Yeah.
I was like, that kid threw up, and then all these Canute fans come in and walk all over. They had no clue what happened.
What was that, Patient Zero? It might have been Patient Zero in Oklahoma.
That poor
teasing,
kid.
Teasing.
That poor young man from Arapaho. I felt bad for him. He just stood there like, what did I do?
He was probably on the team this year. Yeah. We don't even realize
I feel bad for him.
No, good stuff. Thank you to Coach Carlson, Coach Newcomb of Cheyenne Raiden, and also Eric. I know for sure 9:30 tomorrow we got Brock. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we got Brock Steffes.
Brock Steffes, 9:30 tomorrow. We'll see who else we can wrangle up.
Efforting Coach Riddling.
Yeah, we might have Maybe we can get a mom and then daughter, both on the same day.
Hey, that'd be cool. Let's get them on the same time. Just have
take
them,
a fight
let
break
them
out.
Have a conversation. We just sit back.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And then we get Lance on.
Yeah. And then nobody else will talk. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.